Hello again, this is Pastor Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible, and we're actually on the continuation. We should be on the continuation of the outline of the book of Luke, but the Lord has directed me to record some of the literature that I've written down through the years and that the Lord has given me. And we just went through a lot of the literature because I wanted from the Lord to know which pieces of literature that I should have read on the programs first. And I was astounded to see how many volumes of literature that the Lord has given me, not to mention the thousands and thousands of tapes that I've done down through the years. The literature actually would make a... it's 12 volumes of them, and it looks like it would be enough to fill like an entirely Encyclopedia Britannica. There's many, many epistles that the Lord has given me. So tonight I've chosen, the Lord has given me the desire, the inspiration to have read another Pearl Harbor, which is another piece of literature that I've written some time ago. And so we're going to do that, and then we're going to have a couple of letters read first. And right now, let's all go to the throne of the Lord to ask Him to anoint outwardly this piece of literature, the reading of the letters, and whatever else the Lord gives me in this message tonight. Usually the Lord, when I hear these pieces of literature reread, I see little places where the Lord wants me to interject some more commentary, and so that will for sure happen, I'm sure. But Lord, I ask you to anoint outwardly this message this evening. Lord, I want to be so careful that everything that is said on this epistle in the form of a piece of literature on this tape is directed from you, that souls may be won to the glory of you, Lord, and that the church may be edified to your glory. Lord, so open every spirit, every mind, every understanding, every heart to hear, every spiritual ear to receive what the Spirit is saying to the people of this world and to the churches. Father, that souls may be saved and the church edified and strengthened in Jesus' mighty name, we pray. And everyone says, Amen.
Amen.
All right. Now, this literature, these tapes, I do primarily in my home. And so the large congregations that we have, if they were present, you would hear a mighty amen. And there's just a few people here. But where's the first letter from?
From the Solomon Islands.
All right. Let's go ahead with it.
Dear Pastor Tony Alamo, greetings to you in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Thanks very much for the mailbag I received from you that contains in it your newsletters, a book called The Messiah, and the Bibles. Me and my wife are so blessed to have them. It encourages us, builds our life, and gives us hope for our future when we read them. I should have replied to you as soon as I received your bag, but the reason for delaying was I continued on distributing your newsletters to the people. We held one convention at the central part of our island, and after our programs were over, I distributed your newsletters. People started to know you, and they asked me for some Bibles from you. We held another convention at the eastern side of our island, where my wife came from, and I distributed the remaining ones and some in my own local church. I have finished distributing all of them. People were really blessed, and they are hungry for the Word of God. This is a request from some people who received your newsletters 4 from the central part of my island, 3 from the eastern part, and 3 in my own local church. That totals to 10 people who are requesting Bibles. I look forward to receiving those and more from you, and to hear from you again. Pastor Sunny Kuali from Malaysia Province, Solomon Islands.
All right, praise the Lord. Where's the next one from?
From Ghana, Africa.
Okay.
Dear Pastor Tony, my heart is filled with joy as I'm inscribing you these few lines of my missive. To set the ball rolling, let me quickly but politely inquire of your health condition. I cherish the hope that you are swimming in the pool of good health. Down here, everything moves smoothly and methodically. Furthermore, it's a bit long before I came into the light, and before I came into the light, I first read your well-prepared book, The Messiah, and I can't explain how the book touched my heart like that. As soon as I understood the light, I entered the light, and now I am in the light. So, Pastor, I will be happy if you will be able to send me a copy of your Messiah book. I would like to request for the Word of God, i.e. the Bible, because I now believe in God.
What a beautiful way that this man expresses himself. How that when he heard the light, he walked into it. He stepped into it. Praise the Lord. That man should be a writer. He is. Okay, then what?
I would be happy if I should get this Bible and get deeply into the light. Now I know by the grace of the Almighty God, you will help me to get all that I've requested. I terminate my words here with the belief that you have accepted my request. Thank you, and may the Lord richly bless you. Yours faithfully, Enoch from Kumasi, Ghana, Africa.
Praise the Lord. All right, yes, let's make sure. I'm sure he already has received it because my mail room has been instructed to, when people request Bibles or literature, that they pack it up immediately and post it immediately. All right, now we have this piece of literature that I've written. How long ago was it that I had written this? We have a doco on it?
March 2003.
All right, let's go ahead with another Pearl Harbor.
God is one thing and country is quite another.
Right. A lot of people say, you know, they pay more allegiance to towns, cities, or countries on this earth than they do God. And God has to be first, not country, especially when countries have become hypocritical and have become anti-God, anti-Christ, anti-Christian. We don't owe any allegiance to them other than the respect that the Lord teaches us to have for every human being. He says to honor all men. And the way that we honor all men is not to do what they say, but to give them the truth, to show them what God wants us to tell them, and that we live a life uprightly before them, and that we read the Word of God, which is God. The Word of God is actually, according to Bible Scripture, the Word of God is Jesus. And so, God is one thing, He's everything, and country is either blessed or cursed, depending on whether they align themselves with the word of the Lord or no. And so, read that first line again, because the Lord has endorsed me to elaborate somewhat on the first statement.
God is one thing, and country is quite another.
Quite another. Amen.
Amen.
Then what? Because God is the truth, and the country is hypocritical. Amen?
Amen.
The country is antichrist because they say it's all right to murder children. Just because a bunch of hags have stated, we own our body. No, you don't. And you're going to find out at the judgment bar of God that you were to conduct yourself in this lifetime, and this is the only lifetime you're going to live as far as in the flesh. You're to conduct yourself in this world according to dictator God, the way he says, if you want to enter the kingdom of heaven. However, he makes you a free moral agent, and you may conduct yourself another way, But that's only if you don't want to enter heaven and you want to spend eternity in hell in the lake of fire. So if you want to do that, well, then you'll listen to Antichrist rather than God. And that's where most people are today, is they pay no attention to God. They're going to do exactly what they want to do, and they're not going to be inconvenienced to do anything that God tells them to do in His Word. His Word in the 13th chapter of Romans tells people to obey those that have the rule over you. And so, and then it goes on to say that the rulers are the ministers of the gospel. Then the Bible also tells us that there are people that are posing to be ministers of light, and yet they are the actual ministers of Satan. It says Satan appeared as an angel of light to Eve and enlightened her with a pack of lies. It's obvious that this is the way that Satan operates. He operated that way in the kingdom of heaven, and he also operates that way right here on earth. He portrays God as all love, or else he'll tell you that he's a hateful God and you shouldn't obey him, that God has created all types of things, and he says, no, you can't taste, touch, or partake in everything. Yes, God made rattlesnakes, but he doesn't want you to play with them. He made cobras and other poisonous snakes, and he doesn't want you to play with them. Because if you do, you're going to be bitten, and you're going to die. And there's many things. He created human beings, and he told them to be fruitful and multiply. But there's a part in that that is extremely legal. He says you're not to commit fornication or adultery. You're to have a female is to have one husband, and that's it. And most men are supposed to have one wife. But in the scriptures, we see that God said to David that he gave him many wives. And so, you know, we see that also that God stated that the woman is the earth wherein the man is supposed to plant seed. The man is supposed to be a farmer or a husband. A husbandman means a farmer. And that no one is to plow seed into his land, that land belongs to that husbandman. But on the other hand, it states that there's just a host of other people in the Bible that had several wives, and the ones that they mention, that the word God, the Lord Jesus Christ, mentions were all primarily or mostly men of God. Until some of them were men of God, like Solomon, and then they started marrying people that were unsaved, that were not of the household of faith. And the Lord commands the Christian or the believer in God to be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. And so that's where Solomon got into it, and he broke the commandments. He began idol worshiping with some of his ungodly wives, and according to scripture, he is not in heaven. So if you're marrying someone and you're a Christian, it must be a Christian. If you're currently married to somebody that is not a Christian and you are become saved at that time, you're to stay with them until they don't want to stay with you any longer. And if they commit adultery, then you have the license to depart from them. Or if they depart and don't want to serve the Lord, you have the license to remarry, but only in the Lord. All right? Now let's continue on with this piece of literature, another Pearl Harbor.
When the leaders of a country are hypocrites, when they are subversive to God and country, under the guise of being for God and country, they and their country will be destroyed by God.
Right. You can see different cities at this present time. We're actually October the 21st now, 2005. And we can see that the different cities that God is pouring out his wrath on in the United States and other places in the world. We were just watching the news this evening and saw Cancun, Mexico, being devastated by a hurricane. And they say it's moving towards the coast of Florida and the Gulf Coast. Okay, and so we may see some more problems in the United States by the end of this week, by the weekend. Sunday is supposed to hit. All right, then what?
Pray and meditate long on what I am saying. If we continue allowing godlessness and treason to exist in the United States and the rest of the world, the country and the entire world is doomed.
Well, the Bible says that it is doomed and he's going to burn it up. But there's some of you out there in Radio Land and some of you Christians that are beginning to fall away, which is another sign of the end time. Some of you, if you repent, some of you that are lukewarm and you become zealous, some of you that become be vigilant and diligent, full of the zeal for God, you can be saved if you've done these things ignorantly, but you must act. You must begin doing that right now, because a lot of people believe that after they've been saved for a while that they can, or they've done some work for the Lord, that they can begin living a carefree life, a life that is not devoted to the Lord. And the Bible states, which the Word of God, or God himself states, because when we open the Word of God, we are not only seeking God, but you are there looking at God, because the Word of God is God. And I heard Bishop T.D. Jakes today say, you don't even have to find God. He rewards you if you just seek him. Well, if you open the Bible, you found him. All right? Now, all you have to do is just, you seek the Lord. I sought the Lord before I was actually born again of the Spirit. I went from one bookstore to the other looking at the covers of books with these guys that had long beards and they had weird-looking hats on and had cats and moons and everything hanging off of them. And I'd read one page of the book and see that they were not talking about a God that is a God of wrath and judgment, love, wrath, and judgment, but they were talking about their God, which is the dragon, that old serpent, the devil. Because there's God's love, there's his wrath, and there is his anger, and there is his judgment. And then there's the dragon that tells you that everything is fine, that God's not going to kill you, that God will never curse the earth, that if there's any curses on the earth, it's coming from Mother Nature, and there's no such thing. If you want to be believe such foolishness as that, well then, you know, I know you've been raised in a cartoon world and probably been raised by cartoons. When you were just a little child crawling up mama's drapes, you probably were sat in front of the television set and they tuned you in on cartoons, and that's just about how you were raised, with Bugs Bunny and Porky the Pig and other cartoon characters. But there is no Mother Nature, and there are no talking animals like Porky the Pig or Sylvester Pussycat or all the different mice, the dogs, the pigs, and all these other animals. And so you have to become wake up and face reality, that the Word of God tells you that you cannot conduct your life that way if you want to enter the kingdom of heaven. You've got to get out of this cartoon mode and start listening to God rather than a country of people in the White House that have also been raised the way you were, in front of cartoons. All right, and then what?
God wants me to let you know that doom is imminent. I believe this is why God has told me to warn every American and all the godless, subversive people in the world, all those who say they are godly and patriotic but are not, that he is going to destroy all of you soon for your hypocrisy.
See, I love the United States of America, and I love other parts of the world, too. And I'm very patriotic to not only the United States, but to, mainly I live here in the United States, so I'm patriotic to it, but not if, I'm not patriotic to some of the doctrines that we have here. Patriotism is trying to save your fellow countrymen, and to have love for everyone in the world, you have to. Love is the keeping of God's commandments. I have to preach the word to him. I have to teach him the way, the truth, and the life. And this is what I'm doing right now. Japan, this bombing of Pearl Harbor was a planned situation with the people, the heads of government, including FDR. He knew all about that. And they wanted to create a war because the Vatican banks want money. They want to loan money out so that they can have a lot of interest. And the only way that they can... And Satan, the Bible says, the great red dragon is the one that is running the Antichrist government from Rome, Italy, the city of the seven hills or the seven mountains. I ate dinner one day on top of one of those seven mountains at the Rome Hilton Hotel. Best lasagna I ever had in my life. But this is Rome. This is the Vatican. This is the one world government, one world church, the one world news media. This is Antichrist. This is the one that the Lord said that we must not obey. If we do, it's the same as blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. So, you know, a word to wise people should be sufficient. But the Lord stated that the entire world would be deceived by Antichrist, by this one world Antichrist regime, the big combo, the one world cult in Rome, its government, which is the one world government, United Nations, and its one world news media, which is the mouth of Satan. Now, you're believing a lot of these things, and they like to put all kinds of little refreshing notes in the news media to get your mind. They certainly do not want you to know who they are. Satan is a deceiver, and that's how he has deceived you and yours. God said in his word, and remember, God is the word, that the whole world is deceived by this satanic combo led by the great red dragon, the spirit of the very Satan himself. All right, continue on.
God will himself personally do it.
God do what?
Destroy all of you soon for your hypocrisy.
Right. The Lord says that he's going to move the world. Now, you see a lot of the plagues coming down now. These are just the beginning of sorrows, the Bible says. And soon he's going to move the world off of its axis. First, he's going to kill one-third of the people in the world, which will be approximately 2 billion people at one swat. And we hear of this bird flu that's coming our way. And the news media is and the people of the world are frightened right now because they're prophesying that one-third of the world population will be destroyed, killed by this one plague that God is sending. If you read the Bible, you'll see that God has many times sent plagues into the world. Locusts, he sends drought, famine. He sends floods. As a matter of fact, he drowned the whole world at one time, and he poured down fire and brimstone on Sodom and Gomorrah area, and destroyed all those people. And he has many times, if you read the Bible, he said, there are listed the curses and the blessings and the curses. And you'll read that if you do everything I say, here's all the blessings you'll get. And if you don't do it, I tell you, here's all the curses. Here's the blessings and here's the curses. Now take your choice. I made you a free moral agent, and you can do what I say, or you can thumb your nose at me if you think that'll do you any good against me, because I'm going to fire back at you. I'm going to thumb my nose at you, and there's going to be tsunamis. There's going to be plagues. There's going to be plagues such as pestilence, which really means sickness, disease, and infirmities. So you see, in the, he said, earthquakes in all kinds of places, different places. And you see them, and then on top of the earthquakes, 2 million people in some places are displaced. And on top of that, he's so angry at them for worshiping Muhammad that he's causing snow to fall down on them when they don't have any place to cover themselves. And the countries are becoming broke because they're trying to support all these people that God is cursing. And many people think, well, if God curses somebody, we're going to bless them. Well, God, you know, we were the first to send trucks over to New Orleans, trucks loaded with all types of supplies. No one had taken them there until we did. We don't boast about it, and we don't show ourselves walking up and down the streets, you know, handing out packs of food or anything like that, but we send it there, and we do all of our tithing secretly, because if we tell of the things that we're doing, such as that, or if we show pictures of it and show everyone and pat them on the head as if we're just looking for a photo opportunity, as the politicians do, well, then we get in trouble with the Lord, and he says that we won't receive any blessing for that. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so, but we do help them, but, you know, help, still God is going to curse them, but I'm just following what the Lord says. Feed your enemy and people that are totally against us, because we believe that we do not believe in abortion, and that's why they're really against us. And we're against women live, and that's why all the females are against me. But the Bible says that the woman is to be subject to the man. And so, you know, let it hit whatever it will, but we're being blessed, and a lot of those people are being cursed. And it's going to get worse and worse. They're getting diseases. There's cancer, leukemia, AIDS, herpes, you name it. There's just so many. Heart disease. There's a whole long list of it. It would take me an hour to try to list all of them. You've heard them on television and radio and seen it in the newspaper. And some of your family, I'm sure, are afflicted with one pestilence or another, and the Lord says that they come from him because of disobedience. For instance, he tells us not to eat fat, and he says if you do, you're going to be cursed. Well, it clogs up your arteries, and now there's mad cow disease, and just so many things you can't even your head. My head is just spinning from all this stuff that the Lord is cursing the people with. But if all they just repent and start worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ, they would be saved, and those curses would come off of them. If they begin not just seeking the Lord, because when you read the Bible, you're seeking him and you found him, because the Word of God is God. And T.D. Jakes is wrong. He says, if you seek, he says, you know, a lot of people, you know, the man talks very well, but I listen closely to him, and what he's saying is just a half-truth, because he says, all you got to do is seek him. He doesn't say that you have to do everything that he says. He would lose his congregation very quickly if he stated that. Amen? I don't hear of him saying that you have to take up the cross and follow him, to deny yourself. He keeps talking about how God wants to give you a new car, a new truck, a new house, all sorts of things like that. And that isn't necessarily so. He wants you first to seek him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and serve him. Him alone shall you worship him and serve him. And you have to tell others about the Lord, and you must obey everything that he says. So this gets into, well, as I said at the beginning of this program, that I've written volumes. And if you look on our website, I won't have to talk so much. All right, just refer to my literature and my tapes. All right, continue on.
God has always condemned the one-world government, the one-world secular church, and the propagandists who are controlled by it.
Right. God condemns one-worldness. He began condemning that at the Tower of Babel. Everybody was of one language, one heart, one soul, and they all were building a tower to go up to the kingdom of heaven, and were drawn there, going to go up there and destroy God. Well, since then, he split us up into different nations, different languages. And he likes it that way. He doesn't want it to be one universal people where we are so bilingual that we become one, because the heart of people is as wicked as can be. And when we all get together in one unit of worldly people, the Bible says that we're our own destruction. But before we destroy the world, the ungodly people, that is, God said he's going to burn this world up to a crisp. And you may try to say that it's Mother Nature when it's happening, or a natural disaster. But these are not natural disasters or Mother Nature. These are supernatural disasters sent by God himself. And it doesn't matter, you can take a poll and a bunch of unsaved people say, we don't believe it's God. But the Bible says it is God. God brags about doing this, all right? He boasts of destroying the wicked, because he also boasts about hating the wicked. He said that there was a man in the Bible. He was born. He was a twin. And he said, I love Jacob, one of the twins. But on the other hand, Esau, I hate. I hate it. I hate him, and I cursed him. All right, so God loves, and he hates, and he has wrath. And he says he destroys. He said he's a terrorist. He said he's a terrible God. And you got to, you know, fear God. But false prophets, these angels of light that are standing in pulpits today that teach you all these false things, all they want is for your soul to go to hell and for you to spend eternity in the lake of fire with Satan's evil angels. And if you want him to do that, well, then pay no heed to what I'm saying or what the Bible says. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. I'm not making things up and making God into just sweet Jesus. They actually got him as being some fairy or something like that, and God is the exact opposite. He's a dreadful God. And it's a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. He said that the people in this world are going to pray that the mountains and the rocks will fall on them to hide them from the wrath of the Lamb of God, which is Jesus. So if you want to call him sweet Jesus, you're liable to make him very angry, okay? Because he's not sweet as the people of this world think him to be. He's a God that's full of wrath, especially as he sees people attempting to extract his and taking his name and making it an evil thing to even mention the name of God. Listen, you crazy people out there, the people that believe this Antichrist government, you're next. Believe me when I tell you. Believe me when God tells you. You're next. Okay, then what?
God has always condemned the one world government, the one world secular church, and the propagandists who are controlled by it, just as he condemned those who were building a one world government at the Tower of Babel. He knows when ungodly men gather together with the idea that they are greater than God, as they did at the Tower of Babel, that it is Satan causing them to do this. He came down at Babel and confounded them. Before this, the people of the world all spoke the same language. God caused them to speak many languages.
You know, I haven't read this piece of literature for a long time. Literature, and here I just said it right before it's in the track. Because these things, the Lord gives me the same message today as he did then. Amen?
Amen.
You know I haven't read this, right,
yes.
for a long time.
Yes.
Then what?
Again, the people of the world have given God no alternative but to destroy their evil works. When God does this, when this happens, you will realize too late that God is the one who has sent me to the entire world with this message of his wrath. In the New Testament, in the book of Acts, Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, was exhibiting God's power and love by keeping God's commandments in everything he did. Everyone knew him because of the amazing miracles Christ performed through him, and because of the way he helped people who were in need. His job was to make sure that no one, especially widows, were overlooked in the distribution of food. He also proclaimed the good news of Jesus with the boldness and the power of the Holy Spirit. Stephen did not merely preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He also publicly demonstrated God's message and life through the miracles Christ performed through him in the name of Jesus. The religious leaders who ran the secular government in those days tried to disprove the true message about Jesus Christ. However, they were not able to stand against Stephen's wisdom or against the Spirit of God, which was mingled with his spirit. So they lied about him that they might have him arrested and brought before the council of the religious leaders. Stephen, in the love of Christ, even towards his enemies, responded to their inquisition by telling them the history of the Hebrew people. He began with Abraham, told them of Moses, then spoke of the coming of Christ, the Messiah, the atoning Savior of the world. Stephen, by the Spirit of Christ, concluded with a verbal Holy Spirit attack on the religious secular leaders, who, like many of their ancestors, resisted the essential message of God's revealed word and the leadership of the Holy Spirit. These loving words of Stephen by the Holy Spirit angered the Jewish leaders. This was because he told them God, quote, is terrible to the kings of the earth, unquote, and God, quote, is terrible in his doing toward the children of men.
We have this all documented in this tract where it is in the Bible. Then what?
Yes, sir. Psalm chapter 76, verse 12 and 66, verse 5. He said they should repent of their evil so that God would not destroy them and put their souls in hell and in the lake of fire forever. He told them how the Pharaoh in Egypt in the days of Moses mistreated the people of God and how God punished the Pharaoh for this by destroying the entire nation, including the deaths of all their firstborn children and the drowning of the entire Egyptian army. When they were killing Stephen, he called upon God to receive his spirit and to forgive the people who were killing him. Many who profess themselves to be members of Christ's body are not like Stephen. They retain grudges and former hurts. They allow these rather than the Spirit of Christ in God to control their lives. When they do this, it is impossible for them to recover and become complete. When we surrender and trust our lives to God's hand, we will live and die with joy, knowing that God will take care of the details which are out of our control. Stephen, a spirit-filled deacon in the New Testament, tells us, and we are to tell others, that God is terrible to the kings of the earth. God wants me to tell you that in many places of God's word, he states, quote, he is terrible to the wicked kings of the earth, Psalm 76, verse 12. Also, God is terrible in his doing toward the wicked children of men, Psalm 66, verse 5. God is terrible towards the evil children of men who obey wicked, unrighteous kings, generals, captains, lieutenants, sergeants, their media, and their cult in Rome, rather than obeying God. These individuals leave the things of God to follow the evil kings of the earth, whom God shall soon destroy. The Lord told me to write this literature for the kings of the world and the people of the world. I am to warn them of God's wrath towards them, which is soon to come. God said, quote, hear therefore, O ye kings, and understand. Learn, ye that be judges of the ends of the earth. Give ear, ye that rule the people, and glory in the multitude of nations. For power is given you of the Lord, and sovereignty from the highest, who shall try your works and search out your counsels. Because, being secular ministers of the earth, ye have not judged aright, nor kept the laws, nor walked after the counsel of God. Horribly and speedily shall he come upon you, for a sharp judgment shall be to them that be in high places. For mercy will soon pardon the meanest, but mighty men shall be mightily tormented. For he which is Lord over all shall fear no man's person, neither shall he stand in awe of any man's greatness. For he hath made the small and great, and careth for all alike. But a sore trial shall come upon the mighty. Unto you therefore, O kings, do I speak, that ye may learn wisdom and not fall away. For they that keep holiness holily shall be judged holy, and they that have learned such things shall find what to answer. Wherefore set your affection upon my words. The Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 6, verse 1 through 11. Quote, the Lord will be terrible unto, bracket, all the wicked, both small and great, and bracket, for he will famish all the gods of the earth, unquote. Zephaniah, chapter 2, verse 11. Whether you are a small, unrepentant, evil person in this world, or an unrepentant, evil king, it will be, quote, a fearful thing for you when you fall into the hands of the living God, the real living God, the God who says he is a terrible God, the God who is a real terrorist towards all who are evil. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 31. Evil to God is anyone who doesn't do everything he says. Jesus said, quote, ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you.
Unquote. Well, the emphasis is on whatsoever I command you. Well, you say that God hasn't told me anything. Read the Bible. You see that he tells the entire world all the things that you must do if you don't want to be cursed. Amen?
Amen.
So don't say he hasn't talked to you. You just haven't opened the Bible to look at God, the Word. Open it and see if what he says, and then don't wonder if you have some dreaded disease on you and you're not serving the Lord, or you have never sought him or opened the Bible to look at him. Don't wonder why these things happen. People that open the Bible or hear messages and they receive the Lord, they're healed. So don't complain. Don't blame God for what Satan has done to you or has convinced you to do, that you might be cursed or cursed. Blame yourself for not seeking your Maker, your Healer, your Savior, your Deliverer. If you're in a lot of trouble, or any kind of trouble at all, seek your Deliverer. If you have sickness, diseases, infirmities, seek your Healer. That's God Almighty. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's God. If you are hungry or thirsty or naked, seek your Provider. You turn to the Lord and he'll turn to you. But if you turn your back on him, he will most certainly turn his back on you. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, that was John chapter 15, verse 14. quote, "He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him," unquote. 1 John chapter 2, verse 4. In Acts chapter 5, verse 29, when the evil authorities commanded the apostles not to preach the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ any longer,
as they're doing today, okay, then what?
The apostles answered them, saying, quote, "We must obey God rather than any human authority." Greek English New Testament. Today.
Right. And so, chapter 13 of Romans, the secular human authority says that those authorities that are mentioned there are the authorities of God. But the Lord plainly states that these are your ministers. These are the ones that God has ordained to be the authority of God, not the authority, human authorities, but the supernatural authorities, those that are filled with the Spirit and washed in the blood of Jesus. All right, then what?
Today, the true people of the Lord will tell the evil worldly authorities, those who don't care whether or not they spend eternity in hell, the same thing. Rome and her false prophets, who disguise themselves as children of the Lord or fundamentalists, have been preaching a Jesus and a God who do not exist. This cult and her false prophets, according to God's word, are all antichrists. God has called me to tell you about the real God and the real Jesus in his word by the Holy Spirit.
And his word is God. Then what? I can't say that enough. Then what?
I am to tell you that Jesus Christ is coming back to earth again, and that he shall be back sooner than you think, and with good rewards for all those who loved him and kept his commandments, and with great wrath for all those who did not repent or keep his commandments.
And when the Lord says great, believe me, you know, a lot of people use those words, buzzwords like great, but when God says great, it is incredible, beyond awesome. Okay, then what?
But before this happens, there is wrath that is coming. The plagues are coming. This world is about to receive the first seven of the 14 plagues mentioned in Revelation chapter 8, verse 7 through chapter 11, verse 19. The other seven plagues will follow immediately after. In the first seven plagues, several billion people will be slain. More than one half the world population will be destroyed with the first seven plagues. There will be hail, fire, and blood. All vegetation will burn. A huge meteorite, as big as a mountain, will make the sea turn to blood, and one-third of the creatures in the sea will die. Then one-third of all the ships will be destroyed, and all the rivers and waters will turn to wormwood. They will be undrinkable. Millions will
just
die.
Just like the waters in New Orleans is undrinkable, and in other places where God has poured out his wrath. These are just the beginning of sorrows. You haven't seen anything yet. There's much more to come. If you think this is the end of it, and if you think you people can rebuild these cities, by the time you get them built, they'll all be shaken down again. And by the time before they get built, if they ever do, many of you will be dead and in hell if you don't repent. And you'll be in the lake of fire. Then what?
Millions will die from the water and the resulting pollution. One-third of the sun, moon, and stars shall soon be darkened. Revelation chapter 8, verses 7 through 12. Huge demonic locusts shall rise out of the bottomless pit, accompanied by so much smoke that the sun and the air will be darkened.
Yeah, I've heard people say that this will be helicopters. No, because there are no helicopters in the bottomless pit. That's hell. These are supernatural, satanic beings that are... God pulls the lid off of hell for a little while to just come, for these creatures to come out of hell to torment people, ungodly people, for several months. And he says they'll try to die, but they can't. They'll even probably get their doctors to help them commit suicide. But no matter how hard they try to die, they will not die because God hates them so much that he wants to torture them temporarily for about a few months, and then after this to send them into a burning inferno for ever. That's billions, trillions of years to where they cannot die. They can't. They just constantly dying, but they can't, and they're constantly in every unimaginable torments. Then what?
These locusts will have a king, a leader, and have the same power as scorpions. They shall be commanded to hurt only those men which do not have the seal of God on their foreheads, that is, those who are not born of water and of the Spirit of Christ. Revelation chapter 9, verse 2 through 4. The children of Satan will have the seal of Satan placed on their foreheads or their right hand by men, but the seal of God on his children's foreheads is put there by the Holy Spirit.
By them receiving the Holy Spirit. God isn't just going to do it. You must receive the Holy Spirit. You must discipline yourself to walk by the Spirit. That means discipline yourself. The Word of God is the Holy Spirit. The Bible is the Holy Spirit. So you must discipline yourself to obey, to be disciplined by the Bible, the Word of God. If you don't discipline yourself to do it, God won't do it. He's not going to control you. He wants to see you control yourself, to be controlled by the Word of God. If you don't, it doesn't make any difference. If you break one of the commandments, you've broken them all, according to God. He doesn't want anything unruly. He will not have anything unruly in heaven. Okay, then what?
Their sins have been washed away with the blood of Christ Jesus, and they are filled with God's Holy Spirit. God knows them very well. The seal on the foreheads of Christ's followers is the mind of Christ.
Well, which is the Word of God. Everyone that fills their mind with the Word of God, that means they're sealed with the Word of God. They don't know anything other than the Word of God. They don't want to know anything other than God. They don't want to serve anyone but God. They don't want to focus on anyone but God. And therefore, they are sealed by God's Word in their minds. And it's like a trickle-down system. It goes right down into their soul from their mind. And this is how we defend our minds from Satan's satanic fiery darts, like the satanic things that you would ordinarily see in the world when you're walking around there or witnessing to people the things they say, or if you're reading newspapers and see satanic things, or you watch the news or something, they have satanic evil commercials on that try to grip onto you. But if your mind is filled with the Word of God, that means God, the Word of God is Christ. So your mind is filled with Christ, and it's very easy when your mind is filled with Christ, when you have the mind of Christ, to discipline yourself, to be disciplined by the Word of God. Without that, you cannot be disciplined. You cannot discipline yourself, because there's no power, there's no Word of God in your mind. If your mind is completely focused on the Word of God, which is God, then you, like Bishop Jake says, you don't have to find him. Isn't that sorry? Mm-hmm. I mean, he gets all those people so riled up, and I just say, what do you mean you don't have to find him? If you open up the Bible, you've found. The Bible says that Christ is the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
If you open up the Word, you've got him. You found him. Amen?
Amen.
If you seek him, I mean, I sought for all these different books, but when I found the Lord, I opened the Bible, and there he was. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And so meek means to just read the Word of God, fill your mind with him, and you've got him. And then and the more you just read him, the more of him you know, the more of you him that you have found. The more you read the Word, the more you found of God. Okay, then what? But you found him the minute you opened the Bible. Read the Beatitudes. That's the first thing you should read, is the Beatitudes in the Gospels. Amen?
Amen.
Because this shows the love of God, but then you start reading the book of Revelation, you're going to see some wrath and judgment. Amen?
Amen.
and you read the 24th chapter of Matthew, and you're going to see some wrath and judgment in the Gospels. All right, then what?
God sees who they are. He knows them, and they know him, because he lives and works within every one of them. The Bible, God's word, says the locusts will not kill these wicked men, but shall torment them for 5 months. Their pain will be so awful that they will seek death, but be unable to find it. Quote, death shall flee from them, unquote. Revelation chapter 9, verse 6. These locust-like beings look like horses prepared for battle and wear crowns like gold. Their faces will be like men. They will have hair like women, the teeth of lions, and breastplates of iron. Their wings will sound like chariots and many horses running to battle. They will have tails like scorpions with stingers. God will give them the power to hurt the wicked men of the earth for 5 months. Revelation chapter 9, verse 1 through 11. Four of God's angels shall slay one-third of all mankind. If the world population is 6 billion people, 2 billion will be killed. If the world population is 8 or 9 billion, there will be around 3 billion people destroyed by God's four angels and their, quote, army of 200,000, unquote, ecclesiastical horsemen wearing breastplates of fire, jacinth, and brimstone. The heads of the horses will look like the heads of lions, and fire, smoke, and brimstone will pour out of these supernatural beings' mouths. By these three will one-third of mankind be killed, through the fire, smoke, and brimstone issuing out of their mouths. Their power is in their mouths. Their tails are like to serpents. They have, quote, heads, and with them they do hurt, unquote. Revelation chapter 9, verse 13 through 19. Immediately after this, the angel of the Lord will descend from heaven and state, quote, that there should be time no longer. Revelation chapter 10, verse 6. Just before God gives power unto his two witnesses, as prophesied in chapter 11 of Revelation, a, quote, mighty angel, bracket, which is actually the angel of the Lord himself, end bracket, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire, dot, 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 and he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot on the earth, bracket, here Jesus is signifying ownership of the earth, both land and sea, end bracket, and cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roareth, bracket, and bracket, lifted up his hands to heaven, and swear by him that lives forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. Bracket, time no longer means the end of time. We are living very close to that moment, which is the very end of time, and bracket. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, bracket, just after the death, resurrection, and ascension into heaven of the two witnesses, end bracket, when, bracket, the seventh angel, end bracket, shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants, the prophets, unquote, Revelation chapter 10, verse 1 through 3 and 5 through 7.
Well, I see that our time is over with on this broadcast, and we're going to continue this message tomorrow, God willing. And until then, this is Pastor Tony Alamo. The program primarily is reading through the Bible, but these are definitely messages of great importance that the Lord has given me, and I had this one given to me several years ago. What was it?
2003.
What's that, 2003, last year, I guess, or 2 years ago. And so you can see the beginning of sorrows have happened, and these messages are all going on our website so that you can hear them or tell your friends to tune in and listen to them, or if you call in or write in, you will be able to, we'll give you the radio station that I'm on in the different areas, wherever you are, wherever, whatever area you're in. We have one radio station in the in Africa that hits 1.5 billion people alone. Okay, and so let's give them the phone number that they can call and also the address, the website number.
The 24-hour prayer and information line, area code 479-782-7370. And the address is alamoministries.com.
All right, this is Pastor Tony Alamo saying praise the Lord. God bless you until mañana, until tomorrow. God bless.